Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Big Daddy Cool's Tales from the Flip Side on the Diesel Punk Podcast. And I am your host, the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, the Diesel Punk Prophet of Pop Culture, Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny. And today's episode is brought to you by returning sponsor VideoBlocks. VideoBlocks is a subscription stock media service that allows people to download all stock video media they need for just one low cost, only $149 per year. And their service is targeted to the creative community, graphic designers, freelancers, marketers, and small businesses. I use them and you should too. Check them out at videoblocks.com/flipside. Well, guys and gals, we are here today to talk about something that I really didn't touch on very much on our last episode. Our last episode, we talked about what is diesel punk, kind of a diesel punk 101. And we mentioned just briefly two guys, Ottens and Piecraft. And I didn't really expand on that much further than mentioning their names. And so I wanted to come back and talk about the different flavors of diesel punk. So the notion of diesel punk that we have really starts primarily from two different sources. Nick Ottens, who is the publisher of the Gatehouse Gazette, or was, they're no longer around in a magazine format. They're a steampunk-centered online magazine. And another author, Mr. Piecraft. And they wrote several of the early documents, if you will, the founding documents of diesel punk, and really established what we consider today Ottesian and Piecraftian diesel punk. And for the most part, these still hold true. Now, diesel punk has morphed and evolved quite a bit beyond these initial definitions, but I thought it was kind of interesting and important to kind of backtrack and talk about these two individuals and their philosophies of what diesel punk is. Because we see in diesel punk this really broad umbrella, this broad tent of style and aesthetics. And one of the big complaints, and maybe rightly so, of people outside the community is that diesel punk is too broad and it's not nearly defined enough. When you look at steampunk, steampunk encapsulates the 100-year period before 1914. 100 years. The diesel punk era, the diesel era that we look at, is 1914 through 1957. A very short time period. Very small in the grand scheme of history. It's a very narrow era. Yet, within that era, we have a broad range of styles happening. From, you know, the gay 90s, you know, the early 20s, you know, flapper and, you know, the flapper style, the college bula bula look, you know, the straw boater hats and, you know, the knit tennis sweaters on guys, ascots and tweeds, and you know, the tuxedos and that look. Then you kind of move into Prohibition, and you've got, you know, the gangsters and you know, the swing era, the zoot suits. But alongside that, you've also got, you know, the Western Dust Bowl, and, you know, kind of that Western almost cowboy deco fashion, You know, it hasn't really changed that much from the Wild West, that rancher styling. And in Appalachia, you have, that Oh Brother, Where Art Thou kind of Appalachian small town styling. Depression era. You think Waltons, and that gives you that kind of iconic sense. And then bookending the diesel era. Also in the diesel era, you have the advent of rock and roll. The greaser culture and poodle skirts and bobby socks. But bookending the two ends of diesel punk are really the world wars, World War I and World War II. And because of that, you also have the style and aesthetics of war and war machines and military influences. So you see all of that in the diesel era. All of that is under the umbrella. And so it becomes more difficult for someone outside the community to look at what diesel punk is and be able to put their finger on one thing. Well, is it flappers? Is it gangsters? Is it prohibition? Is it, Art Deco? Is it World War II? Is it? Yes, it's all of those things. And sometimes they are elements in and of themselves. Sometimes they're all mashed up. As Big Daddy Cool, I do a little bit of a mashup of, the 20s, 30s, and 40s jazz age styles. I mix, Prohibition era gangster clothing with, the swing era zoot suits, and, pull in, some of the, brighter colors and loud, revelry of the 20s, the roaring 20s. And I mash them all up to create a very unique look for my character. And for those of us in the community, that style, that fusion that is a little bit more colorful, a little bit more bold, is generally considered autizian. Nick Auden's proposed that one of the tenets of diesel punk is this hopeful future thinking, this retro-futuristic, looking at the world of tomorrow. And he really stressed the Art Deco and the utopian science fiction elements of diesel punk. And as such, that autizian diesel punk tends to focus more on the Art Deco styling, the brighter colors, the bolder characters. And so we would call that hopeful autizian at its base. It's evolved beyond, that to some degree, but that's the basis for what a lot of us who adhere to the subgenre of quote unquote deco punk would be aspiring to, is that hopeful autizian diesel punk style. And so a lot of people have called it deco punk. Okay, that's what I would have called it. Had I created the genre, I would have called it deco punk. But I didn't. Anders Blix created the term diesel punk, and that's what stuck. And we can debate whether it was Blix or Pollock, but all documentation actually indicates that Anders Blix created the term diesel punk several months before Pollock's Children of the Sun role-playing game. Anyway, that's another history lesson for another time, but Anders Blix is a friend and a listener, and so big shout out to you, brother. Then the other side of that coin is Pycraftian diesel punk. And Mr. Pycraft tended to focus more of his examination of diesel punk on the military and mechanical aspects of diesel punk. The big loud engines, the machines of war, You know, one of the defining elements of diesel punk is that we moved from the do-it-yourself individualism craftsmen in machinery to mass production. And in the diesel era, vehicles, weapons, and whatnot were created for two purposes: to go fast and to destroy things. So speed and destruction. And because of that destructive element of war machines, you know, we get into the tanks and the planes, and we see this morph into the, with the retrofuturism and alternative technology into the mechas. And because of that element, Mr. Pycraft proposed that that style of diesel punk is going to be dystopian. And so if you've ever wondered why so many people seem to assume that, you know, diesel punk has to be dystopian or post-apocalyptic in nature, it's because of the Pycraftian style of diesel punk. I would dare say that diesel punk at its core, whether it's Autizian, whether it's hopeful or apocalyptic, is dystopian in at its core. And dystopian means, in my opinion, and some of you may disagree, but the way I see this dystopian element is that there's a general dissatisfaction with culture. It's a push against culture. We see contemporary culture, and we see it broken and in need of repair, or it's dysfunctional, and that's the dystopian in diesel punk. That doesn't mean that diesel punk has to be post-apocalyptic. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And in a lot of the early references or the early imaginings of diesel punk, we see a post-apocalyptic world where something has happened and style and technology stopped and didn't progress any further than maybe 1945, 1950-ish. And that was one of the early expressions of diesel punk. We don't see that so much anymore. We still see the alternative future or the alternative history of the war aesthetics, the military aesthetics, in movies like Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, Captain America First Avenger. Sucker Punch is a good example of that. And in games like Scythe, and Dust. But there's not necessarily it's not necessarily post-apocalyptic. It's just alternative history where we have this military advanced or different futuristic military technology based on the aesthetics of the diesel era. It's got that those Art Deco elements to it. And look, everything did. Whether it was a Cadillac or, you know, a P-51 Mustang fighter plane, everything kind of had that sleek Art Deco styling to it. And you see that in the weapons and styles of World War II in particular. But you see it all throughout World War I and World War II and even into Korea. So, you know, everything based off that Art Deco style of the early period of the diesel era. So that kind of gives you your two flavors: hopeful Autizian, or what a lot of people would like to call Deco Punk, and dystopian or Pycraftian diesel punk, which sometimes is post-apocalyptic. Doesn't have to be, but it can be. And because of that element of the post-apocalyptic nature, a lot of people have lumped Mad Max into that because they're fighting over petroleum, over fuel, gasoline. Well, that's not enough for it to be diesel punk. There aren't the style aesthetics present in Mad Max for it to qualify as diesel punk. Mad Max would be good post-apocalyptic science fiction, but not post-apocalyptic diesel punk. There is a difference, and I hope you see the difference there. Now, me personally, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I lean closer to the Autizian style of diesel punk, but less of an emphasis on the military, more of an emphasis on the Jazz Age style, the Art Deco. You know, I love comic books from the era. So I'm blending, you know, those kind of science fiction elements in the Big Daddy Cool. Time travel, magic, larger than life characters, bright colors. My color palette for my shows is Crayola 8, you know, the 8 basic Crayola colors, much like a Dick Tracy film that had a big influence on me. And so mine is, you know, maybe I've even created my own genre of diesel punk, you know, Coolian diesel punk or Cooltastic or I don't know, what do you want to call it? But it's, you know, more of that larger than life comic book diesel punk. And that's even a little bit different from what Nick Otten's and what Mr. Pycraft laid out. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. But once you understand those different flavors and those different styles, you can start to look at people who are doing cosplay or doing, you know, different characters, and you can identify, one, whether or not they do fit the diesel punk aesthetic, and two, what flavor they might be going for. And remember, to be diesel punk, it's got to be contemporary in origin, created since the end of the diesel era. For some, that's 1945. For others, it's 1957. It has to have the aesthetics and the style, the feel, flavor of the era. So we call that decodense. And it's got to have the element of punk. And for me, you know, that's science fiction, fantasy, alternate history, technology, something that turns the historical era on its side. And, you know, that punk element has a healthy dose of counterculturalism, pushing against contemporary culture in some form or fashion. And there are a lot of different ways that you can do that. We talked about that on our last episode. You can go back and listen to Diesel Punk 101, What is Diesel Punk, from my last solo broadcast, and decide for yourself about how you're going to, you know, be countercultural. Anyway, I thought that would be a cool thing to touch on. Hope you guys enjoy that. Let me know what you think. You can send me an email at feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com or at bigdaddycool@bigdaddycoolshows.com. Let me know what you think. And while you're at it, make sure you contribute to our Patreon campaign, patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. Your contributions help us keep the lights on and pay for broadband internet. And, you know, that's a big, huge help. And, of course, connect with me on social media and connect with the show on social media. The best way to do that is at dieselpunkpodcast.com and bigdaddycoolshows.com. All right, guys and gals, that is it for this week. I also want to remind you to check out our sponsor, Video Blocks, at videoblocks.com/flipside for all of your video media needs. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.